Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Regina. And I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect workshop, update on CAR T-cell therapies. And I know that many of you are incredibly interested in this topic and how it's developed, and you're going to hear a lot about it during this program today. I would like to say in today's program is supported by Novartis Oncology, and I really want to thank them for their support of the program. Now, before I introduce our first speaker, I'd like to do a few things. One is I'd like to let you know how many of you are on the call, and also in all the different parts of the world are participating in this global call. So we have over 200 participants on the call today. You come from all over the United States, from both urban, rural, frontier, and suburban communities. And we also have international participants from Canada, Germany, Ghana, India, Ireland, Japan, Kenya, Lithuania, Mexico, and South Africa, and the United Kingdom. So this is truly a global call, and we really appreciate all of you taking the time to spend the next hour to learn more about CAR T-cell therapies. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And our first speaker is Dr. Cohn von Biesen, and Dr. von Biesen is Director Wesley Center for Immunotherapy, Division Chief Hematology and Cellular Therapy, Division Chief Hematology and Oncology, UH Cleveland Medical Center. And Dr. von Biesen will be addressing overview of CAR T-cell therapies, understanding CAR's chimeric antigen receptors, when to consider CAR T-cell therapies as a treatment choice, clinical trials for CAR T-cell therapies, and discussion of CAR T-cell therapies. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. von Biesen.
Thank you, Dr. Messner, and thank you all for listening. It's a pleasure to be here and to try to tell you a bit about this exciting new therapy. So in the next 15 minutes, I will provide you the overview, as mentioned, of CAR T-cell therapies. And CAR T-cell therapies emerged about 5-6 years ago, right before COVID, and have become rapidly standard of care for many patients with, in particular, three disorders, some forms of childhood leukemia, many patients with B-cell lymphoma, and most patients with multiple myeloma. But 5 years ago, coming on the market, before that, there was a development period in a number of laboratories around the world of at least 20 years. And the three indications that I mentioned are just the beginning of this field. And we all anticipate that in the next 10 years, we will see CAR T cells used in many other diseases, in many other forms of cancer, but also in some other diseases. There are CAR T-cells under development in various autoimmune disorders, and some of them are starting to work. So this is just the beginning of an exciting new technology. And so one way to think about CAR T-cells for cancer, at least, is that CAR T-cell therapy is the fourth pillar of cancer treatment. We've long been familiar with surgery. When patients have any form of cancer, surgery always comes to mind. Radiation therapy has been with us for at least 100 years, and chemotherapy has been with us for at least 50 years, and there have been spectacular successes, as we all know. Many would not be alive without these treatments, but we are also aware of side effects, complications, limitations, people still dying. And so CAR T cells are the most potent form of immunotherapy. And why immunotherapy? Immunotherapy is the principle of using our own immune system to fight cancer. And our immune system is heavily involved in preventing cancer. We think of it on a daily basis as being involved in preventing infections, attacking infections. But the same components, mostly the cells and the antibodies of the immune system, are preventing abnormal cells from developing and eradicating cancer. Now, clearly, when we have any form of cancer, lymphoma, leukemia, or other types of cancer, it's a failure of our immune system to control it. So what happens in CAR T-cell therapy, we modify our immune system, and we strengthen it, and we make it recognize the cancer, and with exquisite specificity. So the term chimeric antigen receptor T-cells refers to the fact that for most forms of CAR T-cell therapy, we use T-cells, and T-cells are a very important component of the immune system. There are B-cells, T-cells, and NK-cells, and the T-cells are very important. They are circulating in the bloodstream. They are living in our lymph nodes. They're also in various other organs. You can find T-cells in the skin. You can find T-cells in the stomach. You can find T-cells practically in every part of the body, and there they are surveilling the body, watching for invaders to come and destroying them. But they are clearly not sufficient to prevent cancer in the patients who have cancer. So what do? We take these T cells, we collect them from the patients, and collect them from the blood, typically, and we change them. We put in a new antigen receptor, a chimeric antigen receptor. The term chimera is a term from ancient mythology, and it's a mixture. It's an animal that has two different components. So here we make a chimera of a new receptor and the old T cells. What is that receptor? That receptor recognizes an antigen. What is an antigen? An antigen is a characteristic of the tumor. So we find a characteristic of the tumor that is unique, that is not expressed, that is not present on normal cells. So, and it's typically an antigen that is on the surface of the tumor. And that part has been the easiest in lymphoma and myeloma. The most famous antigen, the best known antigen for CAR T-cell targeting is something called CD19. It's present on most B cells, which is the other part of the immune system. B cells carry the antigen CD19, and B cells are the source of most B cell lymphomas and are the source also of childhood leukemia. In myeloma, there's another famous receptor or another famous antigen called BCMA. The technical terms for all these antigens. So we make an antigen receptor that recognizes BCMA for myeloma, or we create an antigen receptor that recognizes CD19 for lymphoma. We have now collected the cells from the patient, the T cells from the bloodstream. It's a procedure where we remove blood, pass it through a centrifuge, and return most of the blood to the patient, but keep these T cells. Then we bring these cells to the lab. And there, with a complicated molecular medicine procedure, the cells get transduced, as we call it, with the DNA for a new receptor, and they start expressing that new receptor on their surface. That process takes about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Then the cells are ready. The CAR T cells are ready. They now all have this exquisite recognition for CD19. Let's use that as an example. We bring the patient in. We give the patient 3 days of very mild chemotherapy to prepare them, and then we give them a transfusion almost of these CAR T cells, just a bag of cells, like people get a blood transfusion. These cells now recognize the lymphoma. They do what our immune system is supposed to do. When they recognize the lymphoma, when they recognize their target, the CD19 expressing tumor, they start growing. They have an immune reaction. They start expanding. They start growing rapidly. They destroy the tumor, and then they go. And then the CAR T cells go back to sleep and lay dormant. If all goes well, the tumor is eradicated. And so this has been, again, a spectacular experience for most of us. It's not without side effects, and Dr. Yarshon is going to tell you about the side effects. But we have learned to manage many of the side effects, prevent them, manage them, and get over them. And clearly, when this became widespread usage in large academic centers, it became clear that many patients with B-cell lymphoma, many patients with ALL, could be cured who previously were not cured by either chemotherapy or radiation. And this has become standard of care for patients with second-line B-cell lymphoma. Similarly, in myeloma, this treatment works better than most chemotherapies and leads to very prolonged remissions. So it's evolution in what we do and the beginning of a new era, because if we have been successful in developing antigen receptors that recognize CD19, there may be another receptor in breast cancer, there may be another receptor in lung cancer, there may be another antigen in breast cancer, another antigen in lung cancer, another antigen in myeloid leukemia that may become the target for another CAR T. And enormous efforts are being spent in developing such novel CAR T cells. We're not there yet, but there's no doubt that we will get there in the next 10, 20 years. When to consider CAR T cell therapies as a treatment choice? For B-cell lymphoma, childhood B-cell leukemia, and for multiple myeloma, it's become second-line therapy. So we rarely use this as the first treatment. The first treatment for lymphoma continues to be chemotherapy, similarly for myeloma, and there's very effective chemotherapies, but they are not universally effective, and there are people who relapse. And so CAR T cells come second. A year or two ago, they came third. Now they come second. It may well be that as time advances and as they get more tested and we get more experience with dealing with side effects, that it will become first-line therapy, but right now it isn't. So also, of course, there's many patients who come to us from various places who have already failed, who have already relapsed twice, and then we use the CAR T cells as third-line therapy or as fourth-line therapy, and many times they work where nothing else works. Last couple of points, clinical trials. Clinical trials are very important in all of oncology, in all of medicine, and particularly in this field, because it's a fantastic field. It's a revolution, but it's a revolution that is unfinished and that is incomplete. What is incomplete? Well, let's think about B-cell lymphoma. We cure indeed 40-50% of patients with relapsed large B-cell lymphoma. There's another 50% who don't do well. With myeloma, we get longer remissions. We cure very few patients. So we need more effective CAR T cells. We need CAR T cells that are safer. Dr. Janssen is going to talk about the difficulties and the side effects, and there are some. So we need CAR T cells that are less toxic. We need CAR T cells faster and cheaper. One problem I deal regularly with is patients from the countryside, they have to come to us. They have to stay with us for 3-4 weeks. We cannot do these treatments yet in small community hospitals. And the hope is that within 10 years we will, perhaps earlier, we will be able to offer this in a more widespread fashion. Extremely expensive because the production is inefficient. It's individual manufacturing. We want to get CAR T cells that are so-called off-the-shelf, where we don't have to grow the cells from every specific patient, where we can develop a product that is sitting on hospital pharmacy shelves and we give them to the patients. So enormous potential for advances, also new indications, new types of cancer, other diseases, enormous opportunity there because the technology underlying this is extremely flexible and adaptable. So it's very almost straightforward to come up with new ideas, then to test them and to implement them, that takes a lot of work. But so I'll leave you with this. I hope I've given you an overview of this exciting new treatment that can cure patients or get in remission patients who otherwise would do poorly a treatment. that is relying on our own immune system that has become possible to manipulate thanks to technological improvements, and a treatment that has enormous potential for further improvement over the next decade or so. With that, I'll pass it over to Dr. Yamshaler. Thank you for listening to me.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Huntington. That was just a superb presentation, and you really set the tone for today's program, highlighting how important the CAR T-cell therapies are and how important it is for to participate in clinical trials so that more can be learned and more new treatments can be developed. So I know there'll be questions to you during the Q&A as well, so thank you so much. And our next speaker is Dr. Samuel Yamshan, and Dr. Yamshan is Assistant Professor of Medicine, Bone Marrow Transplant and Cellular Therapy Program, Lymphoma Program, Division of Hematology and Medical Oncology, UL Cornell Medicine. And Dr. Yamshan will be addressing about managing potential treatment side effects, specific examples of how CAR T cell therapies contribute to oncology care, key questions to ask your healthcare team about CAR T-cell therapies, the benefits of CAR T-cell therapies, guidelines to prepare for telehealth, telemedicine appointments, including technology, prepared list of questions, quality of life concerns, follow-up care, and what to expect. It's now my great pleasure to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Yamshan.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, and to Dr. Von Bethien for presenting. It's really a pleasure to be here and talk to you all about these, total paradigm-shifting therapies. First, I think one of the big questions when it comes to CAR T-cell therapy are about side effects. And people, I think, often go online and read about the side effects, and they see that these side effects are very different, perhaps, than some of the side effects that people have experienced with other treatments that perhaps they have had for their cancer previously. And so I think that the best way to think about the side effects of CAR T is to, number one, kind of split it into short-term and long-term side effects. And I think that the short-term side effects really make sense when you think about how the CAR T cells work. And so remember that CAR T cells are essentially using your body's own immune system, at least currently our own immune cells. There are some clinical trials using other people's immune system cells, but you're using your immune system to fight cancer. And under normal circumstances, our body's immune system fights all kinds of invaders like bacteria and viruses, and many of the side effects are very similar, actually, to the side effects that could happen when the immune system gets angry because one of those causes. So I actually think of most of the side effects of CAR T cell therapy in the short term as being very similar, actually, to getting a bad infection. So, for example, one of the more common symptoms of CAR T cell therapy is something called cytokine release syndrome. And that's a very fancy way of saying that the body has a strong immune response to the lymphoma. So, and the way that that manifests itself, like I said, is very similar to getting, say, a bad flu. So fever is extremely common. I would say, actually, the majority of patients at some point during their treatment do get fever, and sometimes that fever can be quite high, 102, 103. That fever can sometimes be associated with shortness of breath, with low blood pressure, with organ dysfunction like kidney dysfunction or liver dysfunction. And one of the mainstays of treating some of the side effects of CAR T cell therapy is kind of calming down the immune system. So you want the CAR T cells to get angry because you want them to kill the cancer, but you also don't want them to get so angry that you get sick. And so we have many tools in our toolbox to kind of calm down some of that inflammatory reaction while still allowing the T cells to be effective against the cancer itself. Similarly, when you get a bad flu, sometimes people can get delirious or confused. That can happen with CAR T cell therapy as well. And that is less common than the fever, but it does happen. And when it happens, it can be somewhat disconcerting. Sometimes the confusion is mild and people don't even necessarily notice it. We actually, at our center and most centers around the country, actually give people a quiz. We go in the room a few times a day and give people a quiz throughout the day. And if we find that people are starting to miss questions on the quiz, then we try to intervene early to make sure that it doesn't progress to more significant confusion. But sometimes that still does happen. Again, I think that a large driver of that is kind of that inflammatory response, the immune system getting very upset and angry. And so we have, kind of similarly to the cytokine release syndrome, tools in our toolbox, typically steroids are the mainstay of treatment, to kind of calm down that immune response help resolve the confusion. Sometimes the confusion can last for a few days, or sometimes even longer. And so during that time, we typically do continue steroids. And so one thing that I think is very important to know is that despite the fact that it can sometimes take a while to resolve, on the order of days, or sometimes even like 10 to 14 days, it nearly always resolves with steroids. It just sometimes takes a little bit of time. One thing that I think we've learned over the last few years is that, just like with anything else in medicine, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so many centers around the country, including ours, have started using prophylactic strategies, so treatments in advance of these side effects coming, to prevent them from showing up in the first place. And so I would say that practice differs quite a bit throughout the country in terms of what some of those interventions might be. But most, I would say at this point, probably most centers are using some sort of prophylactic strategy or an early intervention strategy to try to really calm down these side effects before they get serious. These side effects, the cytokine release syndrome and the confusion, also known as neurotoxicity, are typically associated with the very early period after treatment with CAR T cells. And so typically, by the time about 2 weeks have passed, if all of the symptoms have resolved, the chances of them ever coming back are incredibly low. At that point, we start to think about some of the longer-term side effects. Most of the longer-term side effects are more associated with occasionally low blood counts, which usually resolves within a few weeks, but can sometimes persist a little bit longer. And the other piece that I think is very important, as with any cancer therapy, especially lymphoma therapy, it is immunosuppressive. And so there is some risk of infections. We've seen that typically that risk goes down very quickly over the ensuing months, but many patients do have low antibody levels over time, and we typically do need to revaccinate people, including for their childhood vaccines, and some people need to be supplemented with extra antibodies from a donor called IVIG. One thing that I do want to emphasize is these side effects, while potentially scary in the short term, are manageable, and at an expert center with a lot of experience, they are very manageable. And so all of the incredible benefits of CAR T cell therapy that Dr. Von Bessin went into great detail about, I think that all of those kind of outweigh some of those side effects, which again I think are very manageable at an expert center. So Dr. von Bussin, I think, touched quite a bit on specific examples of how CAR T-cell therapies contribute to oncology care, but just a few points that I wanted to emphasize. So one point that he mentioned that I think bears repeating is that CAR T-cell therapies for certain kinds of lymphoma, I think, offer a very good chance at a cure for these lymphomas. And in many cases, patients who have not really responded to any prior therapies are then able to be cured with CAR T. In patients for whom chemotherapy, radiation, targeted therapies didn't work, but CAR T cells work quite well. And part of the reason for that, I think, as Dr. von Bussin alluded to, is just kind of a different angle of attack. But even for some of the types of cancer, the slower growing lymphomas and multiple myeloma that we typically think of as well treatable but not curable, we have had really incredible outcomes with CAR T cells. And every year at our big national conferences, when someone presents the CAR T data in these other types of lymphoma and myeloma, someone always inevitably gets up and goes to the podium and asks, what percentage of patients are we curing with these treatments? And I think that that is somewhat of an open question, but I think just kind of emphasizes just how effective these therapies are, that we're starting to use the cure word in places where previously we never had before. I think for people who may potentially be undergoing CAR T cells themselves or family members who are, there are some critical questions to ask your healthcare team about CAR T cells. So one, I think, very critical question is that for every indication of CAR T cells, there are actually multiple different.
Hi, we're just having some technical difficulties. This is Dr. Mester. We'll be back shortly. Dr. Yamshan will be back very soon and with his presentation. Sorry for this technical disruption. So we'll be hearing from Dr. Yamshan very soon. And I actually, in the meantime, while we're waiting for Dr. Yamshan, I'll say a few words actually about cancer care services. Cancer Care is a national nonprofit organization, and we provide help to people living with all types of cancer and to their families and caregivers. And what does that help look like? So many people call our 800 number, 1-800-813-4673. It's our call center. And people call for many different reasons, for financial assistance. They call for and co-payment assistance as well. And as you know, in today's world, it's really so difficult to actually manage with cancer and all of the costs associated with cancer to not be able to get some financial assistance. And so we've been helping a lot with that. We also offer online support groups. We also offer a host of other services, including a lot of Connect education workshops, like the workshop you're on right now. We also offer a number of publications, and we offer fact sheets. We also have a pet assistance program to help people who have a pet for whom they're not able to either walk their dog or change the litter box or need food for their pet. And we know how important pets are to many people. We also offer a tremendous other array of services. And you can just go to our website, www.cancercare.org. And we are having some difficulty getting Dr. Yamshan back on the line, so I'm wondering if Dr. von Bussin, if you could pick up where he left off.
Gosh, at what point did they lose me? Hi, at what point did you guys lose me?
We're not sure, but I would say I would go ahead because they're live
I
right
gave
now.
the okay, because I went through the whole thing without realizing that I had been dropped.
I'm disconnected, of course, because you don't know because you're speaking. So, Adam, why don't you go ahead and talk about, why don't you just go through the first two points that you covered and move on to the last three? Unless you want to
Okay.
do side effects and examples of CAR T, maybe might just go through the whole thing. Might be a good idea.
The whole thing?
Yeah,
Okay.
might as well.
Okay. hi everybody, round two. Thank you again for having me. Just to speak a little bit to the treatment side effects. I think the best way to think about the side effects of treatment are to kind of to split number one into short-term and long-term side effects, and then to think about, I guess, the ways in which the CAR T cells cause those side effects. And so many people, I think, look, especially when they read online about some of the side effects of CAR T cell therapy, they're very different than what they might have experienced from other therapies or from chemotherapy. And so the way that I think about the side effects of CAR T cell therapy are specifically thinking about the way in which CAR T cells are part of the immune system that is attacking the lymphoma and is in the same way that it might fight off a bacteria or a virus. And so many of the side effects of CAR T cell therapy are very similar to what you might get, for example, if you got a bad flu. And so one of those common side effects is something called cytokine release syndrome, which is essentially a very fancy way of saying that it's the immune system getting very angry in response to the lymphoma, so or myeloma. And so essentially, again, the side effects of the immune system getting upset are very similar to having a bad flu. So, for example, fever is extremely common. I would say actually that the majority of people at some point in their treatment do get a fever. And sometimes that fever can be quite high, 102, 103. Sometimes that fever can be associated with other side effects like shortness of breath, low blood pressure, racing heartbeat, or even some dysfunction in organs like the kidneys or liver. What's important to remember is that all of these effects are driven by the same thing, which is the CAR T cells getting angry. And so we actually have a lot of tools in our toolbox to be able to intervene on that and to be able to kind of calm down the T cells while still allowing them to be effective at killing the lymphoma. And so we typically give anti-inflammatory drugs when some of these side effects occur. To kind of calm down the immune system and prevent some of these side effects from getting worse. Kind of similarly, in the same way that when you get a bad flu, sometimes people can get delirious or confused. That can happen with CAR T cell therapy as well, and that's something that we refer to as neurotoxicity. And again, the way that I think about that again is the CAR T cells getting very upset and angry at the cancer, and so then causing inflammation potentially in even in the brain itself. And so that is much less common than the cytokine release syndrome, and actually, these days we have a lot of tools in our toolbox to even try to prevent it from happening. But sometimes it does happen, and when it does, it can be very disconcerting to patients themselves and to their family members as well. Similarly to cytokine release syndrome, kind of the mainstay of treatment of neurotoxicity is anti-inflammatory treatment. We typically, in these cases, use steroids. And typically with steroids, these side effects nearly always resolve. Sometimes they do take some time to resolve, sometimes days, and sometimes even, you know, a week and a half to resolve. And during that time, it can, again, be very disconcerting. But with the treatment and with time, that inflammation nearly always resolves, and people do recover. One thing that I think is very important in 2024, as we've gotten a lot more experience using these therapies, is that, you know, as in all other parts of medicine, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so many centers around the country are now utilizing prophylactic approaches to try to prevent these side effects from occurring in the first place, or if they do occur, occur in a much more mild way. One thing that I will say is many centers around the country have different approaches, and I would say in CAR T-cell therapy, because it's still a relatively new field, there's not really a standard national approach that everybody does. But I do think that at this point, most centers are taking either a prophylactic approach or a very early intervention approach, where at the first sign of these side effects, we intervene. And so we do monitor very, very closely for these side effects. For the neurotoxicity, we actually, as is standard at nearly all CAR T centers, we actually give people a quiz. So a few times a day, we actually will come in and give them a quiz. And if they start to miss questions on the quiz, then we will actually treat them for the neurotoxicity, again, to prevent it from becoming something more noticeable. And so in terms of the short-term side effects, I think at this point we have a lot of prophylactic strategies to try to prevent them. And when they do occur, we have a lot of strategies to intervene upon them and keep them from becoming more serious. In terms of the short-term side effects, these are nearly always resolved by the first couple weeks after CAR T-cell therapy. And if by you know, day 14 or so after CAR T, these side effects are not present, then the chances of them popping up later are somewhere close to zero. But there are some longer term side effects of CAR T cell therapy that I think are very important to be aware of. As with any treatment for cancer, these therapies are immunosuppressive, and so there is a risk, an increased risk of infections, and so it's very important to look out for potential infections. You know, a fever should prompt a call to your doctor immediately. Many people actually, because we're sort of resetting the immune system, antibody levels can be very low over time, and so we actually often revaccinate everyone, even with like childhood vaccines, over time, and also sometimes need to supplement people with antibodies, even from a donor called IVIG. Another kind of more long-term side effect is on occasion people can have low blood counts for a while after the CAR T. In most patients, that resolves by around a month after CAR T, but there are some folks who do still have low blood counts afterwards. And one thing that I do think that is important to mention as well, and there's been a lot of discussion about this recently, as with any other treatment for cancer, the treatment can, in theory, trigger another type of cancer. That is extremely, extremely rare. Out of the tens of thousands of CAR T cells that we've given, we've seen that, you know, like a dozen or so times. So really very uncommon, but it is a potential possibility, and one that I think has gotten a lot of press and we get a lot of questions about, I think understandably. One thing that I think is important to emphasize is, and Dr. Von Bessin touched on this, is just how incredibly beneficial these treatments are for patients. And, you know, I use the word paradigm shift to describe these therapies because I think it's been a total sea change in how we think about cancer treatment. And so for many patients, who previously treatments didn't work, we are now curing them. and these therapies work when others didn't. And in some of the other types of other types of cancers, such as the slow-growing lymphomas or the multiple myelomas, which were kind of traditionally thought to be treatable but not curable, we're seeing just incredible, incredible long remissions, to the point where every year at the conferences when this data is presented, somebody gets up and asks, you know, how many of these patients do we think that we are now curing? And so the very fact, I think, that we're using the cure word in these scenarios just speaks to just how effective these therapies are. In terms of key questions to ask your healthcare team, I think that the most important things are, number one, that for every indication with CAR-T, there are multiple approved products. And so I don't think that you need to know, you know, exactly all the details of which ones, but I do think that it's always a good question to ask your CAR-T doctor, which CAR-T did you choose and why? And because they do often have differences in terms of the side effect profile. And so just getting a sense from them of why they chose what they chose, I think is always a good idea. And then another approach, as I mentioned earlier, many centers around the country have very different approaches to prophylaxis in terms of, trying to prevent these side effects. And so it's always a good question to ask, you know, what's your strategy to try to prevent some of these side effects or early intervention if they do occur? And so just getting a sense of what their plan is, in the event that these side effects do occur. One thing that I also do want to mention in terms of the benefits, we talked already about their benefits, in lymphoma and multiple myeloma, and Dr. Von Bessin had also mentioned that these are now in trials in other forms of cancer, but we're actually now seeing clinical trials beyond cancer entirely, and so these are now treatments that are being considered in lupus, in rheumatoid arthritis, in scleroderma, and in multiple sclerosis. And so I think, like I said, just a total paradigm shift and has totally reframed how we think of cancer, but also autoimmune disorders as potentially being treatable or even curable. The last thing that I do want to touch on, and then we'll get to the Q&A, is just in terms of, telehealth and telemedicine. I think at least at the beginning, we do typically see people in person. There are some centers that actually have like wearable technologies where we're able, like the Mayo Clinic, where we're able to actually track patients' vital signs even from home. But ultimately, I do think that it's at the beginning when the cytokine release syndrome and neurotoxicity are a potential risk, it is important to see people in person. But I think as technology improves, that may become less the case. I do think that it's always a good idea to kind of have your prepared list of questions coming in and make sure that, you're not missing anything that you wanted to have discussed. Although, of course, all of us are always available if you forgot something to ask. We're all very, very easily reachable and able to respond by message or by phone call to discuss things that you missed. And then just in terms of the follow-up care, I do think that there's some pretty big differences nationally in terms of how long people stay at their CAR-T center after the treatment. And so at some places, like our center, I actually see my patients forever and continue to check in, and those visits become less frequent over time, but ultimately, they do stay with me and with their referring oncologist. At other centers, after a short period, they go back to their referring oncologist and they don't follow up at the CAR-T center anymore. And so I think having a good sense of kind of what the model is at the center where you'll be getting CAR-T will kind of help you prepare for, how it's going to be moving forward. So thank you for listening. And again, sorry for the disconnection. And we look forward to hearing your questions.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Yamshaw. That was a wonderful presentation. Very informative and lots of wonderful information. I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. And now we're going to move on to the Q&A. I'm going to ask Regina to explain to you how to queue up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll take questions from the web only. You may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
Okay. The first question is, and this is for Dr. Van Biesen. Is it true the inclusion of breast cancer patients to a CAR-T trial has been curtailed due to concerning results?
Can you repeat that question?
Is it true the inclusion of breast cancer patients to a CAR-T trial has been curtailed due to concerning results?
I would say in general, patients with other types of cancer are excluded from trials. And that is because trials are typically conducted with investigational products or with investigational purposes in mind. But there are now at least six FDA-approved products on the market. And if there's a patient who needs a CAR-T for lymphoma but who happens to have a remote history of breast cancer, we would definitely accept them for treatment with an FDA-approved product.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And the next question is for Dr. Van Biesen. Has there been any results in myeloma patients with histiocytes-like cancer cells, which are rare?
I'm not sure. I mean, again, if the patient has a myeloma that expresses the correct antigen, and currently the antigen of for FDA-approved product is something called BCMA, then they should qualify for this. Then they should qualify for treatment with the CAR-T. But the person who asked the question asked a very specific question, and without really insight into the details, I cannot really answer it confidently.
That would be a good question for this patient then to go back and ask their healthcare team.
And exactly.
Thank you so much. Thanks. And for Dr. Yamshan, is it effective if a patient is in remission?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Oh, is it effective if the patient is on remission?
Oh, so that's a very good question, and actually one that is I think actually a subject of some debate. To some degree, it depends on what type of cancer that we're talking about and what other treatments that people have had before. But actually, generally speaking, so one thing that we didn't talk about in the prior sessions was, at least not extensively, was the concept of bridging therapy, which is that in between when people get their cells collected and when they receive the cells, we often will do treatment to try to shrink things down. And sometimes, and actually I see this often as a good scenario, when we give that bridging therapy, sometimes we'll get another scan and everything is gone. And in that scenario, I know that many others around the country agree, pretty much always still will give the CAR T cells. And the reason for that is because that sometimes even when there is microscopic, when there's nothing on the scan, there's still microscopic disease that we cannot see on the scan. And the CAR T cells are still able to go in and kill cells that we can't see. They are, you know, patrolling at the cellular level. And so I typically do still give CAR T to someone who has had even a complete remission to bridging therapy. Now the question is, someone who hasn't already had CAR T cells collected, who is already in remission, that I think is a different question entirely, and one that I think is very dependent on, you know, their history, what they've gotten before. But I actually give CAR T cells very often to people who are in a remission from bridging therapy, and when it happens, I'm actually thrilled about it, because it's I think a good the less disease there is to work with, the more effective CAR T cells are.
Excellent. And another question to you, Dr. Yamshan. It says, does it affect on the treatment, giving patients the use of steroids during the treatment?
So that also is, I think, a very important question. So in theory, the steroids are, they're anti-inflammatory drugs. And unlike some of the anti-inflammatory drugs that we use for cytokine release syndrome, which are very, very specifically targeted, steroids are kind of a general anti-inflammatory. And so they calm down inflammation, and one of those types of inflammation that they suppress is T cells themselves. And so at the beginning, there was some, when we first started doing CAR T cells and when they were first approved back in 2017, I think a lot of us were very reticent to use steroids extensively in the management of side effects. What we've actually found over time is that long-term steroids may have that immunosuppressive effect, but using it in short doses to kind of deal with some of those toxicities don't actually
Dr. Mundison, can you take over here?
Sure. So bottom line is that we use steroids because they are very, we use steroids because they are very protective for side effects. They treat side effects, they treat the fevers, they treat some of the other side effects. So they are necessary, and we are less worried about their adverse impact. It's not clear that although they do cause probably some damage to the CAR T cells themselves, it does not seem that that matters a whole lot. Make a long story short. So yes, we use steroids.
Okay, thank you. And another question for you, Dr. Van Biesen. If a multiple myeloma patient responds well to CAR T initially, what is the next step if they relapse? Is CAR T treatment being modified to overcome this?
That is a very complicated question. The practicalities play a role there. CAR T cell treatments are very expensive, so it's rare that we can use a second commercial product. Now, there's a lot of interest in develop alternative products. We talked about the antigens that are targeted, right, by the CAR T cells, by their antigen receptor. There's many antigens on myeloma cells, and for example, there's an the FDA-approved products right now are directed against an antigen called BCMA. There's a second.
Hi, everybody.
Sam, I'm over.
Okay, I'm so sorry. You know, my landline is usually the more stable one than my cell phone, so I'm sorry.
That's okay. Dr. Yamshan, just answer your question, then we'll give some love to you.
So let me just finish here. So there's another antigen called GPRC that is the target of another CAR T cells that is under development. There's at least 4 or 5 other products under investigation that in the future will become available. There's also a new class of medicines called BiTE antibodies. They are not really cells. They are very powerful antibodies that sometimes work when CAR T cells fail. But there's a lot of work to be done still, and that's one reason to continue to do clinical research.
Thank you. And a question for you, Dr. Yamshan. How can CAR T cells be engineered to mitigate detrimental side effects? I read about studies implementing an off switch to relieve toxicity.
Yes. So that is one potential strategy, I think, to avoid CAR T cell toxicity. So there are actually a couple of different switch strategies that have been employed, including one that we had in clinical trials here at Cornell. One is using an on switch, which is basically that the CAR T only works while you're taking an additional drug, And so that drug is required for the CAR T to work. And the second you stop taking the drug, the CAR T stops working. And so the benefit of that strategy is that, you know, if you have really bad side effects, you can just stop taking the drug and the CAR T cells will shut down. The flip side is having an off switch, which is a similar idea, but that you have a drug that you can take that will shut down the CAR T cells. And so those are a couple strategies that are currently being explored in clinical trials. Interestingly, one of the CAR Ts that is commercially available already, which is Lysocell, actually has on it a truncated EGFR protein, which is a fancy way of saying like half of a protein on.
Dr. Von Thiessen, can you take over here?
Yes, I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention, but the long and the short of it is, yes, the switches are heavily being investigated. Also, there are switches that are, there's fine-tuning. There may be CAR-Ts that are, for example, there's other ways to try and make them safer. For example, we are here testing, and we are not the only ones, a CAR T cell product where we can infuse very low numbers of CAR T cells, much lower than the FDA-approved products. And by infusing lower numbers, we seem to get much less of the cytokine of the fever-type syndromes. The most vexing problem, and perhaps the least answered one, is the one about neurologic toxicity. That is often, at the large majority of cases of neurologic toxicity, something called ICANS, which can be confusing or difficulty speaking. Large majority is perfectly reversible, but every now and then it's problematic. And it's ill understood why this happens. So it's been difficult to completely prevent it.
Hi.
We're going to now go through the takeaways. So I'm going to start with Dr. Von Thiessen, if you would start with just a takeaway from today's program.
Sure. I think you heard from both of us that this is a spectacular new technology that has dramatically improved the chances and the life for many of our patients, and that is rapidly becoming mainstream. There are many, many issues and reasons for improving and adapting these, and the issues are access, efficiency, affordability, safety, and so on and so forth, and also new indications. So I would encourage everybody who has access to this to participate in clinical trials when asked.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Beasley. And Dr. Yamshan, would you like to take away for people?
Yes. So, I mean, I agree with everything Dr. Von Bissien said. Again, this treatment is a total paradigm shift. Curing a lot of people who there were otherwise not responding to therapy, and even potentially curing people in diseases and even non-cancer diseases that we previously thought potentially may be incurable. And so just an incredibly exciting treatment. And I would echo also the point, which I think is a critically important one, which is that everyone who at some point in their treatment may need these therapies, and so I would very strongly consider, you know, having a conversation with your oncologist about the potential for these therapies, and I don't think that anybody whose disease has not responded to treatment should at some point at least not consider receiving them. I think that it is the rare person who can't get these, even with the side effects that we discussed at an expert center. They are very manageable and, like I said, very, very clinically successful, and I think they're the wave of the future.
Okay, I want to thank our speakers. You've been phenomenal. And I want to thank our participants for asking such great questions. I know we have many more questions in queue, so I want to comment about that. But the combination of our participants and our speakers really made this a wonderful call. And I do want to comment back that for those of you who asked a question and for those of you who are yet in queue and didn't get to ask your question, for both of you, both categories, both the ask a question or didn't get to ask your question, take your question back to your treating healthcare team. Remember, you've learned a lot on being on this program today, and so that you now know a lot of things that you might not have known before. So go back to your team, ask them the question you asked today, but with the knowledge of what you gained today. And ask your questions over and over again. That's really important. Also, please be aware that the most difficult time to reach your healthcare team is on evenings, weekends, and holidays. So always be sure to find out who is on call at those times, because otherwise when you need someone, it seems like during the day there's no problem reaching a physician usually. But nighttime, weekends, and holidays are really hard. So you always want to be sure you know who's on call or who you call if you run into a problem. Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today. And of course, you all can take advantage of Cancer Care Services. You can call our Hope Line at 1-800-813-4673, or you can visit our website at www.cancercare.org. And again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.